Are you ready to bounce back better? Hey guys, Sarah K. Ramsey here to help you find love and success after a toxic relationship so you can design a life you're actually excited about living. Hello, wonderful. I am here with Amelia, and we're trying to figure out what the heck he's thinking. And you have probably wondered that in your own life and wondered what's happening, what's going on, what should I do, where are my boundaries, and what should I do about it? So, Amelia, let's figure out what problem we're trying to solve, shall we? So, kind of give me a little background, our listeners, a bit of background on what's going on right now and what problem that you're trying to solve and how you're trying to figure it out.
Okay, thanks, Sarah, and thanks for having me on today.
Oh.
It's really a pleasure, honestly. So I've been working with you with your Wondrous Woman program for about 5-6 weeks right now. I'm noticing so much, and I'm noticing a lot of growth within myself. Like, sometimes it's slower than others, but like, the more I lean into the program and do it, like, I can see the results right away, and it's kind of crazy.
Yay! So yeah, I love it.
It's been amazing. The current situation that I'm in, Sarah, is I'm dealing with the guy that I've been in a relationship with for like the past couple of years, and I love him dearly. He's got a lot of issues of his own, you know, mental health issues, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I've said this to you before too. When it's good, it's really, really good. And then, you know, like, it'll flip and it'll become not great. And so I was caught up in this cycle and stuck in it for so long, just trying to figure him out, trying to figure out what I had done wrong, or if there was anything I had done wrong, or what was wrong with him, or blah, blah, blah. It's like, it was a never ending vicious cycle. And in that, I completely lost myself completely. And so he has this habit of like breaking up with me, getting back together, breaking up, getting back together. He has a lot of fear in his life. He's had a lot of abandonment in his life. He has a lot of trust issues in his life. So, you know, it's hard because I try to keep proving myself to him and that I am trustworthy and everything. And finally, like recently, after doing some of the work in your program, I realized, you know what, like, that's not mine to own, and that's not mine to fix. And I shouldn't have to prove myself to anybody. Of course, like we prove that we're trustworthy by being trustworthy, right?
But like, we don't being trustworthy unless there was something, you know, someone cheated, you know, you have to earn that trust back. Like, that's like a normal circumstance. I mean, hopefully cheating isn't normal, but you know, there's some situations where it's an expectation to earn trust back. When we were younger and we broke our parents' trust by staying out past curfew, we had to earn that back. So yeah, so if someone always has an empty bucket that you can never fill of trust, that's where we have to just keep a watch and recognize that difference, right? Is this someone who I broke trust and so I'm having to earn it back with them? Or is it a situation where they just don't know how to trust people? Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it does. It makes total sense. And I think the latter is correct. I think that, you know, it's just right from childhood and everything else. Like, he just hasn't had that stability, that stable, trustworthy person in his life, you know, right from the get-go. But I look at myself and I, you know, I had an up and down childhood as well, and like, not really stable and everything else, but I have somehow learned how to trust.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. So if I can do it, then, and no matter how deep this stuff runs with him, you know, after 7 years of being his friend and then being in a relationship with him for like the last 2 years, you know, he should know I'm not going anywhere. Right. Like, as long as he treats me with respect and stuff. I mean, you know, if that starts going off the rails, I'm gone. But, sure. You know, like, I really like that analogy, Sarah, about the bucket. And actually, when I was driving to the lake house this weekend, I listened to a lot of your podcasts, and that makes so much sense. Because now, when, so like, for instance, today in this instant, he's not really talking to me the last couple of days, even though like we had an amazing week. It's like he shut down on me again. And so normally I would be like gone into my fear of abandonment. What have I done? Constantly texting him or like trying to figure it out. And so that I can feel okay, right? That was an interesting thing. It was like, you know, so that I can feel safe again. And it's like, that's not appropriate because I'm using him to feel safe.
Whoa, girl.
And that's not
breakthrough.
Proper either.
Breakthrough. I know.
Right?
Like, advance in my podcast recording. because that's great. No, that's great.
So the whole analogy of the bucket really hit home, because it's like, you know what, as we were driving, so I had mentioned to you, we had gone to the lake for the weekend, but he was having really bad anxiety. And instead of, this has actually gone off a little bit of what I was talking about the bucket, but it was another one of your points where you say, you know, getting real about your past, or is it real about your past?
Real about the present.
Right.
Curious about the future. Yep.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So in that moment of driving up there, when everything had been so wonderful the last time we had been up there, and I was in La La Land and thinking, oh, we can recreate that. All of a sudden I was like, okay, what is your present situation though? And it snapped me back, and it's like, it's not the same. And you're going into this with expectations. Just sit in the moment of what this actually is and just be in that moment, you know? And right away my anxiety calmed, because I was feeding off of his anxiety, right? And trying to fix it and trying to make him feel better and wondering what I could do. And I don't know if you've ever had an anxiety attack, Sarah. I'm sure you have. I know you have, actually, because we've talked about it. But, you know, like, there's not a whole lot that anybody can do but just be there, you know? And sometimes you don't even want anybody there. You just need to, like, be in it. So once I relax.
And to be solid, right? So when there's whatever's happening, whether it be with our kids, whether it be a situation at work, whether it be whatever, if someone else is having their own internal storm, the more grounded and solid we can be and not get drug into their storm with them, whether their storm is anxiety or anger or whatever else it may be, you know, to be our own solid place. And I know that's the work that you've been doing, is learning how to be your own solid place for every situation in your life, right? For every situation in your life, not just about him, not just about your kids, but everything.
Exactly. And it, you know, getting back to the bucket analogy, it's like, I've tried all that before. You know, I've tried, like you say, you know, I try pour hot water in, let's try pouring lemonade in, let's try pouring fruit juice in, you know, like, but when that person has a hole in their bucket and everything you try, even though it might work, right? Or it might have worked before, or you think it should work and logically it should work. But when that person has a hole and, you know, it just keeps leaking out and leaking out, it's up to that person to plug that hole. I can pour love into you and I can pour goodness and kindness and trust and everything else, but I can't fix that hole, right?
And no one else can fix our hole, right? Which is exactly what you said just a second ago about not needing him to feel safe, right? That's it's like our own holes. You know, some people are looking to fill their own holes and fix their own holes. There's none of us that are perfect, that don't have anything to work on. That real process of fixing our own holes so we can feel solid and be in this solidarity and the grounded place in our own life. And
exactly.
And what are some things, I know you've made some real improvements on that. What are some things you've done that have gotten you already to a better place?
I think that the biggest thing for me, like I said, I'm fairly early on in the program, but, and I actually started over, I was waiting for the new stuff to like come online. Uh-huh. And so I started over again. And the second time around, I had a completely different view of it. Like I just felt like I could go that little bit deeper, and I could, because like I wasn't on such high alert with my emotion, like my emotions had settled and I felt stronger in myself. And so I could see things more clearly. But the unit on, you know, gravity, abstract and actionable thought has really been my go-to. Like it's really been a saving grace for me in a way, because I do get caught in abstract thinking. It's my go-to. It's my, what is it called? My natural way to do. Like I'm a fixer. Okay, well, what can I do? And why is this happening? And why is he doing this? Like, okay, let's take the example of today.
Why is he, right?
So he's not interacting with me like he usually does. So of course my brain's like, well, why is he being like that? What have I done? What can I do to fix it? Right. And so I caught myself though. And I was like, you've done nothing. You know, you've done nothing. He's just being him in whatever snit that he's in right now. And what are you going to do? Are you going to sit here and ruminate about it for the next, you know, 5 hours till he decides to text you back? Or are you going to get up and do something that will move your day forward? Right. Because sometimes it can't be about moving my life forward. Sometimes I just have to break it down to the hour or to the day, because when my brain starts going and starts spinning, it's like, okay, what can I do in this moment that is going to move my day forward? And so I got up and I put my dishwasher on and I mopped my floors and I, you know, like swept my stairs And by that time, my kids were getting up, and it was like, okay, you know, I did it. And that was a small victory. So it's these small little victories that I can look back on. I can go, you know what? I'm doing it. I'm actually doing this, and it's working. And you know, what Sarah's saying is true.
I have never had a woman say, you know what? You just did not get that at all. That is not what you hear people working for me. So the situation with the gravity, abstract, and actionable thinking. So the gravity thinking, I want you guys to imagine, since Amelia already got the cheat sheet, but you know, as you think about I want you to imagine you want to get to the moon. So within gravity thinking, you stand outside in your yard and you try to fight gravity. And you just jump and you jump and you jump. And then the neighbors are walking by saying, what are you doing? You say, I'm going to get to the moon. And they say, no, you're not. You're fighting gravity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there's certain problems in our life that we cannot control. They are gravity problems. Okay.
That's right.
So then our brains take over and try to help. And they say, well, but why do I want to go to the moon? Why do I feel like that? Did something in my childhood happen to make me want to go to the moon? Or, you know, what if someone gets mad at me when I'm at the moon? And so we send our brains into worry and rumination. And what's tricky is we think we're solving problems in our brain. But
exactly.
That's it. We think we're doing something worthy here, right? But we're not. We are just walking in circles rather than walking forward. This is adapted from a book called Design Your Life by two males who were engineers. And they talked about gravity and actionable thinking. And I laughed because I said, oh, they've missed, they're engineers, right? It's a very black and white. They've missed women completely because they, you know, so I added in the idea of abstract thinking, which is where all the women go, yes, that's
absolutely
one. That's the problem. So in this case, right, we're talking, as Amelia and I were talking, if there's a someone and they keep leaning back and then you lean forward, it becomes a really tricky cat and mouse game that we don't want to create. So if there's a situation with a, you know, a person and they say, you know, they ghost you or they need some time or they have situations going on and they're leaning back. If you're always going, hey, what's wrong? What's the matter? What's going on? How can I fix it? How can I this? How can I that? Right? That creates a really unhealthy power dynamic and doesn't create a situation where we make them come to you, which is what we want.
That's right.
Right? We want them to come to you.
Yeah.
An actionable step that Amelia took today is kind of a distraction, but in a good way, right? Something she can move forward. You know, she wants him to say, oh, I'm doing great today. Thank you so much for asking. I really want to see you tonight. Right. But of course, that's what she wants. But how he responds to some extent is a gravity problem. He gets to choose how he responds and if he's having a bad day or a good day or whatever. And we don't want her to lose a whole day in abstract thinking. Why is he doing this? Why is this happening? Why is that happening? Blah, blah, blah. And so we want to turn it into some type of actionable step so that she can move forward and she can have a productive day and she can manage her mindset and she can not give away her power.
Yeah.
So even if it's cleaning the kitchen or doing whatever, it was an actionable step. And obviously in different circumstances, in different lives, there's different action steps, but it's a way to self-manage and to create healthy movement in your life that is not just waiting on them to respond or hoping things happen. It just gives you back a bit of control.
It gives you back your power because every other time, like if something like this would happen, I would feel completely immobilized for that day.
Yep.
You know, like, so when I say that it's a big deal, like, and when I say that it's working, like it's working because normally I would be in a curled up in a ball crying somewhere, you know, as ridiculous as that sounds. But like,
it doesn't sound, I don't think anyone thinks it's ridiculous because we've probably all been there. I don't think anybody thinks it's ridiculous, but it is immobilizing and it is feeling of helplessness.
It is. And it does create that and it makes you feel helpless. And that's where the point that like you came into my life, I felt completely helpless and completely powerless over my own life. And it was like, no, that is so not true. And so reconnecting with the parts of me that are good and reconnecting with my talents and my gifts and everything else, like reconnecting with like my friends that love and care for me, doing all these things that help me, they create that safety. They create that, not the people, those actionable steps. That's what creates that safety for me, you know?
Well, and it's making,
and I've never had that safety.
Well, and it's making your life about you rather than about the relationship, right?
And,
go ahead.
And I always thought that like I couldn't have both. Like there was some, not that I thought that I couldn't have both, but though I just couldn't seem to get both. Does that make sense? Like I couldn't seem to have a relationship and yet have my life. Yeah. So that's really what I've been working on, is having a separate life outside of him. Mm-hmm. It's not like I disclude him or anything. It's just that I have my own interests and I have my own friends and my own things that I do, and becoming comfortable with that, so that when these things happen where he shuts down for a couple of days or he goes into hibernation or whatever it is, right? I don't know. Again, I can sit here into abstract thinking and try to figure it out, but I don't want to do that anymore. So, you know, it's given me the tools to go, no, there's other things that you could be doing that are much more worthwhile with your time. You know, mm-hmm. When he's ready and he comes to me and we can sit and have a conversation, then that's the time to like get out the stuff that I need to get out, you know, or talk about how, you know, that type of thing doesn't really work for me, actually creates more insecurity or whatever, you know, like, but I don't even know if that he's capable of having that type of conversation, right?
Well, I think he is. What do we talk about? Yeah. And for those people who have not worked with me yet, what do we talk about when you say we're not sure if he's capable? So what are we doing? We need to be collecting
data.
Yes. Collecting data. I was like, oh, she's
all the time.
Yeah. You're just collecting data to see what's going to work, to figure it out. And to see basically, should you stay or should you go? Right. You know,
exactly. And I think, and when you came into my life, Sarah, when I found your Facebook group and then progressed into your private group and the coaching, you know, I was at a place where there was no separation. There was no, I didn't know where I began and he let, you know, or where I left off and he began. I was completely enmeshed and stuff and just in that cycle of toxicity. And so we had actually broken up and when I met you. And then what I loved was that you never said to me, Amelia, you can never go back. You know, you can't do this. You can't do that. What you didn't say was, Amelia, you can never go back to him. No, I don't want you talking to him, blah, blah, blah. Like, it was so refreshing. It's like, no, let me help you through this because we really don't know what's going on here. And that was the light bulb moment for me too. I remember messaging you and I was like, you know, I realize how toxic I've become, how my thinking, how my actions, how my life and my thought patterns have just become so toxic because they became all about him, right? And that was no good in any situation in my life. So with your guidance and with being able to, like you said, you know, just go collect some data and approaching the relationship from that standpoint at this point in the relationship is a lot less scarier than going, this is the end all and be all. And if I screw up or if this screws up or it doesn't work out, I'm alone and helpless and I can't do anything. Because that's where I was at one point. So now it's like, no, I'm just collecting some data. I'm seeing how this is going to go because A, I kind of know the game now. And I just need to see if he's actually playing a game or if this is actually things that he's struggling with that I have no control over. And no matter which it is or what it is, I have no control over his emotions or his thoughts or his actions or anything else. The only thing I have control over is how I manage my day, in turn, how I manage my life, right? And so breaking those cycles of abstract thinking and, you know, hopping on and doing some work with the course or listening to some of the podcasts or videos that you have has helped tremendously change me being stuck. And I can't even tell you how stuck I was. Like I'm talking laying on the couch for 2.5-3 months stuck, right? So, you know, just to other people, it might be baby steps or it mightn't be that big of a deal. But for me, like this is huge to be able to stay grounded and to be able to come above this and go, that's interesting.
Yes. Collect data. Yeah. Your own little sleuth of your own life. And to recognize that you have choices. You're collecting data and you can choose, do I stay? Do I go? Do I this? Do I that? Do I reach out? Do I not? Do I this? You know, rather than almost like that cycle that we all go through where it's almost like an addiction. Like you feel compelled, like I have to do this or I have to do that or I have to, you know, and it's like, you know, what's happening? And that can be a really yucky place to live. And
you basically, what you're doing when you do that is you're literally placing your life in someone else's hands. Absolutely. To say, here you go, you do whatever you want with that, and I'll just be the bystander. Yes. Of my life, and yes, I'll just let it happen, you know.
Yes.
And that creates such a feeling of helplessness, hopelessness, insecurity, you know, like you're just basically setting yourself up for failure because you're allowing someone else to dictate what your life looks like, whether they're actually dictating it or not. That this was the key too. It's like, he's not actually doing that by not standing up for myself, by me not doing what the next right thing for me and for my kids and to move me forward. I am letting him have the complete control, right?
And so, I want to point out something, the next right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That was a huge statement. She just like was saying some amazing things and just kind of glossed over, but the next right thing, because if you are listening and you're at a place where it's like, oh, I feel like I'm the person on the couch and I'm helpless, right? You don't have to figure out all the things today.
No.
You have to do the next right thing. Maybe that's joining the Facebook group. Maybe that's reaching out and joining the Wondrous Woman program. Maybe that's whatever it is in your life. Maybe telling somebody a story, the story of what's been going on for the first time, you know, whatever that next right thing is. But thinking about it in terms of baby steps of the next right thing, rather than what's your path for your future? When do you have everything figured out? Right? What do you have, you know, that thing. So sorry to interrupt. I didn't want to gloss over that because it's something you've learned and it's a huge, huge statement and a very important piece of this puzzle.
For sure. And I mean, some days the next right thing looks like, you know, getting my butt in the shower, right? Exactly. Like right? Or the next right thing for me to do in this situation, instead of sit here and ruminate or worry, is to go get groceries, you know, like sometimes it's as simple as that. And I mean, the thing is too, like I've made like a year long plan for myself, but I also understand that it's a loose guideline. It's where I would like my life to go and where I would like to see myself. And I believe in manifestation. And I believe that wherever your thoughts go, that's where your actions go. And then that's where your life goes. It makes sense, right? So, you know, I understand that things can change though, and things can move in a different direction. But as long as I have those goals, you know, written down there, how I get to them or how they look at the end of the year, you know, I might have 2 out of 5 of them, right? But it's still a whole lot more progress than being in a curled up on the couch, right? But, you know, there were days, and I want to let people know that too, that, you know, the Absolutely. Program has done so much for me. It really, really has. And the bounce back better. And it was the missing piece for me, because I had studied narcissism. I had studied toxic relationships. I had studied, read. I'm sure I could get a degree, right? I'm sure most people that are listening to this are like nodding their heads.
And that's usually it. Yes.
Right? So the key was like, well, that wasn't getting me anywhere. It's like, I can talk about him, my ex-husband, my parents, everything else that I'm blue in the face. It's not going to get me anywhere trying to figure out why they did what they did. What is going to propel me forward and get me somewhere is taking action. Whatever that looks like for that day, even if it's one small thing, look back on that day and go, you know what? Today I did that one small thing that moved me that little bit much further away from the toxicity, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is. And just that next right thing, taking action on the next right thing. That's awesome. So what last piece of advice would you give maybe to yourself 3 months ago, 2 months ago, you know, to another woman who is in a situation of confusion, or what, or 2 years ago, 20 years ago, you know, whatever stage in your life.
Yeah.
It's
been the same. It's been a repetitive pattern for the last 20 years.
So yeah.
I'll just use myself even like 3 months ago, you know, or for me, again, the key was meeting you and coming into your fold of your program and everything, because it just really helped me look at things a different way. But I think I would say to a new person is, you know what? Be patient, reach out, but dive in, let the universe know. I remember you said that on our introductory call, you know, like you're letting the universe know that you're serious.
Yeah.
And I was serious. Like I was fighting for my life at that point. Like it felt like I was fighting for my mental health and my life and my kids and everything else. And I took the plunge and I was like, you know what? I am serious about this. I do not want this cycle to continue. I do not want this cycle to continue for my daughters. I don't want this cycle to continue for my sons. I deserve a healthy, happy, fulfilling relationship and a fulfilling life, you know? So for the new person, it's like, you know it feels overwhelming. I know you feel like you're dying. Like I felt like I was dying, but you're not. And, you know, reaching out, doing something, I guess that's my best piece of advice. If you can do one thing to move in a forward direction every day, build on that, you know, reach out to Sarah, join the faith. There's so much good information there that has helped me get out of my head and start moving forward. And just know that everything's going to be okay.
And I want to point out something that you said, you know, knowing you deserved better and happiness. And mm-hmm. not only did you know that you deserved better, you created situations to get to better.
That's right.
In your life, right? Like you did something, right? Because it's one thing I think women say like, oh, I deserve better. It's like, great. What are you doing about it? And they're like, nothing.
Exactly. Exactly. Right?
And it's like, well, that's not going to work. And you said, I know things will work out. And what I want to commend you for and say is it's going to work out because you were taking the steps to make it work out.
100%. And that's why I know it's going to work out, because I couldn't say that before. Yes. Sarah. I couldn't say, you know, I know I'm going to be okay. People would say it to me. It's all going to work out. You're going to be okay. Things are going to work out. And it's like, it's easy for you to say that. How are they going to work out? How are they going to be okay? How am I not going to feel like this for the next 25 years of my life? Yes. You know, like, and so that was the key. It's like, now I have a plan. Now I know what it takes. And it's so simple, but yet it's so difficult for us to do. And I think as women, and, you know, I know that there's probably like lots of empaths, you know, and sensitive people and everything that'll be listening to this. And it's like, we feel it's our job to make others feel better at the expense of our own happiness, right? And that's just not true. The more that I work on myself, my own life, my own happiness, the more that this relationship seems to flow better. And not just the relationship, whole life in general, like, you know, my relationship with my kids and their lives, like I can see it trickle down to them, you know? And I think that's a direct product of not being caught in that vicious cycle in my head of ruminating and wondering, and how am I going to do this? And, you know, I know how. I'm just going to keep moving forward and doing those little things and working the program and, you know, reconnecting. I love that part, reconnecting with the good parts of yourself. You know, I went through years. I've been in therapy since I was 16 years old. I am not in therapy anymore. I am in growth right now. I am in.
Can I get another, like, here's me dancing. Here's me dancing again for you. Like, I'm like, woo, woo, yeah. You're not in therapy. You're developing a growth plan for yourself. Right. And that reconnecting looks right with you. So I just want to give you a little kudos. And I did want to point out the difference. It's like, there's a huge difference that I deserve better. And then I'm taking action towards making it better. Yes. And you are absolutely 100% telling the universe, hey, I got to figure out how to make things work out for me. And I'm taking the steps every day to do so. You're going from, and you were someone who was just like thinking you couldn't even make it on your, you know, on your couch. And it's like, oh, been there.
Oh, seriously.
I get it. I get it. And you know, the dark, I remember the darkness very well.
Night of the soul, they call it.
I definitely researched dark nights of the soul and felt that I was having them. And now, you know, you're in a partnership with God and the universe to create that light for yourself. And
absolutely. And it does give you such a sense of power. You know?
Oh gosh, it's so much better, right? It's so much better.
100%. 100%. Awesome. It feels so much better.
Well, thank you, Amelia. Thank you for sharing your story, and thanks for being you.
Oh, thank you, Sarah, and thanks for being you and for just showing up for us and for being real and for leading by example, which you always do so well. I love you, girl.
Oh, I love you too. Thanks for coming.
Okay.
Hello, wonderful. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast and that you found something that will either help you get past your past, get real about your present, or get serious about your future. And hopefully it's all three. If you're not already in my Facebook group, Finding Love and Success After a Toxic Relationship, consider this your invitation. There are tons of lives, tons of tips and tricks to help you bounce back better. Have a great day.